Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 1st of February 2016, the podcast that takes it and leaves it. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again is Chris Hangartner. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Shane.
Let's re-aggrandize the news of the bogus. And we're starting off with just a weird case that's going to the Supreme Court. And if the court finds against freedom and liberty and for their corporate masters, it could spell the end of cosplaying.
Oh yeah, I heard about this.
It's actually, if you remember that episode of Penn and Teller's Bullshit about cheerleading.
Oh yeah.
And they talked about Varsity Brands and all the horrible things they were doing.
Yep.
Varsity Brands has a competitor called Star Athletica, and they're designing competing cheerleading uniforms, and Varsity Brands is saying that they're violating their copyrights by doing these cheerleading uniforms. Star Athletica is pointing out that clothing designs have traditionally been exempted from copyright, and they've got a whole lot of case law to back them up on it. So the idea is that copyright protects creative works. It doesn't protect useful articles, things that are designed for the utility of it. And we talked about this the last time we had the Superplex Brothers on, about how you couldn't copyright a font, but you could patent the programming that went in for the hinting for the font, but you couldn't copyright or patent the typeface itself because that's a useful article and it's there for a particular purpose.
It's just crazy what people will claim is copyrighted nowadays.
Well, and that's just a consequence of all of this expansion of copyright protections.
I have a friend called Corey, and he believes in copy and patent rights, and it just drives me nuts when I have to tell him over and over again that copyright and patent laws hinder, you know, new products, not encourages them.
So, the issue is where you have something that clearly has utility, but it's also artistic as well, and I love what they did in this article. They put in a picture of that leg lamp like you saw on A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
So, okay, it's a lamp, so it has utility, but it's also... So how do you do this? And the courts basically have 9 different theories about how you separate creative from non-creative aspects of a work. And in this case, the 6th court actually added a 10th to it. And that's really where you get the idea that they're just kind of making this up as they go along.
Well, that's government for it. You know, if they want to do something that's against the law, they'll change the law. And if they need justification, they'll make up a reason.
So the hope is that the Supreme Court is going to design a test that can apply to say, okay, this is where utility ends, and this is where the look and the art of it picks up. But the real question is, which way are they going to go? Are they going to give leeway to the designers to do more things that they want to do, even if it matches what someone else is doing? Or are they going to go the other way and just let them grab all these copyrights?
It's stupid, you know. I mean, a little off topic here, but I partially blame copyright for the reason why the new Star Wars movies are terrible.
Why is that?
Well, because here's the thing, you know, I mean, the biggest complaint that a lot of Star Wars fans have with The Force Awakens is that it completely takes a dump over the original trilogy and the expanded universe. Here's the thing, if Star Wars were in the public domain, there'd be nothing stopping the fans from making, you know, their version, you know, possibly that's more loyal to the expanded universe, but Disney owns the copyright, so if you try to make your own little independent film, you know, of Star Wars, you know, which shows, you know, how you want the series to go, Disney can say, nuh-uh, can't do that, we're gonna sue you.
Yeah, there was a recent attempt that fans were gonna make their own Star Trek movie, and they weren't even gonna make money doing it. But I think Paramount shut them down for copyright reasons, and you know, we've seen the same sort of thing with fanfic.
And it's stupid, too, because Disney never created the story of Star Wars. They automatically own the copyright and all that, which...
Well, they never created Snow White or Cinderella or The Little Mermaid or any of those.
I even like how people pointed the hypocrisy of Disney, where Disney's filing all these copyright lawsuits against people, even though their famous movies they got for free.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so what does all this have to do with cosplaying? Well, this public knowledge article points out that if the cut, color, and pattern of an outfit can be copyrighted, then cosplayers are going to be sued right and left. And the thing about it is, we did cover a similar situation about 3 years ago. Fox was going after people for knitting hats that resemble that one worn by Jane in an episode of Firefly. Even though all it was just a basic, kind of an ugly orange-colored wool hat with the puff on top of the tassels down the sides.
Yeah, I never seen Firefly, so I don't know what that is. But okay.
Jane is Adam Baldwin's character, and he's kind of this tough guy thing, but his sister or someone like that sends him this hat, and he puts it on, and he's so proud, and he looks ridiculous. But it was only in there for one episode, and yet the fans just jumped all over it. Well, they came in with, no, that's trademark, you can't do that, and, you know. So they're not being paranoid when they're talking about cosplayers being threatened, and the issue with the Jane hats was that they were selling it, but as we've seen before with other things like fan fiction, even when you're not selling it, they can come after you. You know, you're on YouTube and you do even just like a movie review and you do clips of the movie, stuff that should be fair use. Even if you don't monetize it, they go in and have the video taken down, you know.
This is why it just goes to show that when government protects, you know, a business, they have an incentive to file these lawsuits, because I can guarantee you that on a free market, these companies would not be so willing to jump to the lawsuit, because in a free market, filing lawsuits against your fans is actually going to hurt you.
Oh, yeah. But you could also have things like, not really a license, which is a government grant, but just a contractual arrangement with these makers to make the official, you know, Jane hats. These are the ones that are actually licensed by the production company, so they're authentic and they're good quality and things like that. And then the rest are these knockoffs, and of course, knockoffs have a little bit of a reputation of being lower quality, so people would rather get the real thing.
It's pretty funny, because people who defend these copyright laws say, well, without copyright, there's going to be no incentive to create anything, but they've debunked that. Like, I think there was, like, an undercover news where they found, you know, all these faker imitating, you know, products of, like, these famous, you know, purses and, like, clothing that were much cheaper than the real deal, and yet the companies that make the real deal, they still make a net profit.
Oh, yeah, Folexes are a lot cheaper, but Rolex still does good.
Yep.
Next time someone says that to you, just ask them, why all the great classical composers were German and Italian, where their works couldn't be copyrighted, and not English and French, where they were doing all this copywriting.
Oh, so that's the reason why a lot of the famous composers are German or Italian, because it was easier for their music to get spread around, you know?
Well, and it's also the fact that, you know, Beethoven writes a symphony, and he gets to go out and do it first and do all the productions and make all the money, but then it's just going to be grabbed by whoever, so he has to go write another symphony.
That's what I told my friend Corey one time, because he said, well, what if you create a video game? What would be the point of creating a video game if someone could steal it? Well, first of all, if my video game is good, it's going to have a fan base, and my fans are going to rip on the guy for stealing. And second of all, what's going to give the incentive to keep people creating is, okay, well, I should keep doing my best to create something new, because if I don't, these amateurs are going to come and make copies, and I'll be forgotten.
The best thing to do with a video game or something would be able to make it expandable, where you're just making your own official levels, and then fans could make their own levels, and people could play it if they wanted to, but like I said, they might be seen as knockoffs, so they'd like to get your official levels more than the fan-made levels.
That's actually one of the reasons why I really like Valve, because they are one of the few companies out there that genuinely listen to their customers, and that's because, I think we covered this before, there was an incident where they were almost going to start going after, you know, modders, you know, for certain video games, but when the fans complained, Valve says, okay, we won't do that, sorry. So I give them kudos for doing that.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials, and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
Well, more attacks on our privacy, and I don't know what it is about Maryland, and we don't have either Travis or Charles on here to tell us what's going on up that way, if there's something in the water, like there is in Flint, which we'll talk about later, but
it's pretty funny, though, because a lot of the northern East Coast states tend to be the more authoritarian ones.
Maybe it's just because when it gets cold or something happens to the brain, I don't know.
Well, then again, Washington, D.C. is technically located in Maryland? Like, it's not officially a part of Maryland, but it's located there.
Originally, Washington, D.C., it's not a state. It was a 10-mile by 10-mile square, which the Constitution said is what you do. And It was centered on, what is it, the Delaware River?
Yeah.
And, like, one part of the square was chopped out of Virginia and one part was chopped out of Maryland. And during the Civil War, the part that was in Virginia went back to Virginia, went into the Confederacy. And so now it's Arlington. So if you look on the map and you see Washington, D.C., and you see Arlington, they make that square.
They did that to prevent corruption between the federal government and the state governments. Because the fear was that, like, if they used, like, an official city of a state as the capital, then the local politicians could abuse their friendly relationship for personal gain.
Yeah, which kind of happened a little bit originally when it was in Philadelphia. That kind of led to the Whiskey Rebellion.
I'm pretty sure right now the overwhelming majority of our founding fathers are rolling in their graves now. Except Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, I think we've even gone past what Hamilton would have wanted.
Yeah, people fail to realize Hamilton, you know, was not exactly a liberty-loving person. His vision of what the United States would have looked like is a lot different than what we think.
Yeah, but even he had limits.
Yeah.
So what's going on here is prosecutors in Baltimore are saying that they don't need a warrant to spy on your cell phone transmissions because people know that cell phones generate location data.
Typical excuse.
Yeah, and this is where you have things like hailstorm and stingrays and stuff like that. And what they are these, it could be like a drone or it could be a van or something like that. But it's basically this mobile cell phone hotspot. And what your cell phone is doing is it's always trying to connect to the one where it gets the best signal. So it goes by and you connect to that. And then once you're connected to that, they can see what you're doing. They can get your phone calls and your texts and your location data and everything else. And so this is a brief filed in a criminal case which relies on a warrantless IMSI catcher, which is the technical term for that, where the state says that there's no reason for police to seek a warrant because everyone knows that cell phones generate these data whenever they're turned on. Quote, "The whereabouts of a cellular telephone are not withdrawn from public view until it is turned off or its SIM card removed. Anyone who has ever used a smartphone is aware that the phone broadcasts its position on the map, leading to, for example, search results and advertising tailored for the user's location or to a ride-sharing car appearing at one's address. And certainly anyone who has ever used any sort of cellular telephone knows that it must be in contact with an outside cell tower to function."
And it goes back to this, you know, imagine if a private company was caught doing this. They would be sued, you know, up their asses.
Well, and there's all the difference in the world between pulling up the Uber app and say, send me a car, you know, where they have to get your location data and they know that and you see the little car's GPS and they trace it out as the car comes to you. There's all the difference between that and the world and some law enforcement officer getting that data to find out where you are.
Yeah. The thing is, what's the worst that are they going to do to me? The worst that's going to happen is that they're going to send me some ads or say, oh, here's a deal off. You know, I'm actually much more afraid of the government spying on me because they can actually do something.
So what they're relying on is the 1979 Smith versus Maryland Supreme Court decision, where the court determined that a PIN register did not constitute a search, and this is how they were tapping into phone lines at the time. Therefore, the Fourth Amendment didn't apply. Therefore, they didn't need a warrant to do it.
Again, courts are just politicians in robes.
So Matt Blaze actually tweeted a pretty good response to this. He said, quote, "People let people into their houses sometimes, therefore no warrant is needed to search houses," or something.
Yeah.
They also argued that they can do it because it's not expressly forbidden by local statutes. Quote, "There was no cellular tracking device statute in effect at the time. There was an order from a neutral magistrate finding probable cause to authorize precisely what was done in this case. The closest applicable statute does not contain an exclusionary provision, thus the court erred in excluding evidence in this case." And as this TechDirt article points out, the only reason there wasn't a statute in place is because local law enforcement has spent years keeping all of this stuff secret, even from judges and defendants. And then here they are saying, well, everyone knows about it, so it's okay.
And they say not knowing the law is not an excuse. The peasants, you know, have to obey every single law, even if they don't know it, but the nobles are exempt from Muslim because reasons.
Different rules for thee than for me. Yes, and they were referring to the fact that the presiding judge in the prosecution suppressed the evidence from their pen register, saying that it contained material misrepresentations. And actually, the state didn't turn over its information on their IMSI catchers until May of last year, and that was 7 months from the point when the original discovery request was filed, which is kind of a long time to withhold information on something that everyone supposedly knows about and is perfectly legal and intrudes on no one's privacy.
Well, that's how government law works. Same old stuff.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now.
And now from The Intercept comes another story showing why innocent until proven guilty is important not just for our justice system, but for society as a whole as well.
Oh, this one's going to be fun.
Oh, and this one is the case of a man named Sadiq Long, who is a Muslim U.S. Air Force veteran. He was secretly placed on the no-fly list in 2012, and I remember we were talking about this a few weeks ago when they were saying, oh, if you're on the no-fly list, you shouldn't be able to get a gun. Well, you can't find out that you're on it. When you do find out that you're on it, there's really no way you can ask for a review, find out why, get it overturned in court, or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest problem when people say why we need to have lists, because 90% of the time I've actually heard people who are put on these lists don't 100% know why, and when they say, well, why am I on the list, they say, well, that's a government secret, or that's none of your business.
And then following this, the news media all over the place started smearing him as a member of an ISIS cell when there isn't the first bit of evidence to show that.
It's a witch hunt. Before we looked after Muslim radicals, we were looking after communists, and before that, we had fascists. That's actually a scare that gets forgotten about. During World War II, there were many well-respected journalists that had their reputations completely, you know, ruined because they were supposedly fascists. You know, Charles Lindbergh got chewed out by, you know, the media. He was accused of being an anti-Semitist and a pro-Nazi, and his only crime was that he went to Germany one time and he said, ooh, these Germans, they have some pretty impressive-looking aircraft. He never said, I support Adolf Hitler. All he said was, I like the design of the German aircraft that they're making.
And nowadays, it's not even terrorist, it's just being a Muslim.
Oh, yeah. Even before Muslims, there was even a little bit of a Mexican, you know, issue where anyone who was Mexican was automatically suspected of being an illegal immigrant.
So what happened was, Long and his family got held in a deportation center in Turkey because he was put on this no-fly list, but he wasn't able to stay in the country because his visa had expired. He was never charged with any other crime, let alone anything to do with terrorism or ISIS, and the U.S. government did let him return home and enter the U.S., and according to his lawyer, quote, Sadiq and his family's return to the United States confirms, if there was still any doubt, that Turkey does not believe them to be ISIS operatives. So you have Pajamas Media, I'm not sure who they are, but...
PJ Media? Yeah, I've seen them.
They just uncritically started passing on all these reports that he was a terrorist and an ISIS operative, and all sorts of news organizations just picked this up and ran with it, including one in Long's Oklahoma hometown. And he was even slammed by a lot of anti-Muslim activists like Pam Geller, Ann Coulter, and Sam Harris. And so The Intercept presented all this evidence that the story was a complete fabrication. Even after that, and even after the Oklahoma TV station that originally repeated the story confirmed that it was false, Pajamas Media said that it stood by its accusations. Sam Harris at first apologized for promoting the false story and then kind of went back on that by repeating the allegations all over again. And basically his name in the minds of the public is attached to ISIS and probably will be forever.
That's the biggest thing I hate about the American justice system is that if you get accused of something, it gets stuck with you, you know, like... If you want to get a new job or something, people don't hear I was found innocent. They just hear I was put on court. That's all they hear.
Well, and one sees parallels to the sex offender registries. You get arrested for something like public urination. And I've seen cases where the guy was on his own private property. He was not visible from any public areas. The only reason the cop saw him is because the cop was trespassing on the guy's property, and the cop arrested him for public urination, and he got sentenced and put on the sex offender registry. And now everywhere he goes...
Why the hell do we even have the sex offender registry? There's no registry for convicted murderers.
Oh, what? You hate children? You want children to be raped? What's the matter with you? You're a horrible person.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. And that's why there's no political incentive to fix these things.
Yeah, that is true. You know, I mean, if I'm a politician and I say we need to get rid of the sex offender list, all my opponents will say what you just said. They'll just say, oh, did you know Senator Hangartner? He supports the molestation of children. You know, that's what they do. That's it.
And it reminds me of something that happened on my Facebook a couple of years ago, and all I was doing was saying, you know, the age of consent laws are really kind of arbitrary, and they vary all over the place. Maybe there's a better way of doing this other than age of consent laws, and everyone just jumped all over me. You want to rape children!
Well, it also doesn't help the fact that you're a man, and as everyone knows, it's been scientifically proven a middle-aged man thinks about sleeping with a kid every 5 seconds.
And they wonder why we call this a religion, a cult.
Yeah, it's like...
They wonder why.
What happened to the American justice system? Innocent until proven guilty means that when you walk into this court, until you show me evidence that this guy committed a crime, I'm going to assume he's innocent. But nope, it's not like that anymore. It's going from the English model of law to the Soviet model of law, which is, well, if you're innocent, then why are we talking to you?
So we know this guy isn't a terrorist because they let him home. Turkey wouldn't have let him leave, and U.S. wouldn't have let him back if there had been any indication that he might be a terrorist.
And that's just another thing, too. Turkey has a reputation of being pretty tough with their laws, and if they let him go, that kind of demonstrates, yeah, I think there's no reason to convict this guy.
But he's still on the no-fly list with no explanation and no recourse.
Yeah.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to dehydrate this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to pretty much everybody in the Michigan government, as well as the city of Flint and even federal bureaucrats. Not just because of the horrible things going on with the water supply in Flint, but all of the corruption that led to it and everything they've done after that to try to point the finger at others.
Didn't, like, you know, all these, you know, big mega corporations come in, you know, and they donated all these bottles of water, and then people started saying, eh, look at those evil corporations, you know, exploiting, you know, the poor people of Flint during a crisis.
Even though they were donating the water.
Yeah.
So, according to all the reports, you have the top EPA administrators in the Midwest, you have Michigan's Republican Governor Rick Snyder and his administration, and officials all over the city of Flint who ignored, denied, or covered up problems that have existed for years that culminated in children being exposed to toxic lead in the drinking water for about 18 months. And in fact, there was a specialist report on the water contamination that had all of the passages that showed that they knew about it beforehand excised from it.
Oh, yeah. And this is why I hate it when people say, well, government is good because they're for the people. It's like, look at Flint. It just goes to show that government only cares about itself and its employees.
So you also have the National Guard handing out bottled water. Lots of charities are handing out water filters. The EPA's regional leader, Susan Hedman, resigned, as well as the state's water quality director. There have been calls for Snyder to resign. He's apologized twice. And he said in his State of the State address, quote, government failed you at the federal, state, and local level.
And yet, people are still saying that the water incident in Flint was caused by private companies because potatoes.
Yeah. No, the water quality officials insisted they had done all the proper safety steps, but then privately acknowledged to the federal officials that they hadn't, and then they said that they just misunderstood the required protocol.
Wasn't, like, what happened was that they switched their water supply to this river, and this river had some, like, rusty pipes in it that were giving off lead? Is that what happened?
Well, they switched the water supply, and then there was something about they didn't add the right chemicals, which wouldn't have cost all that much, and would actually have lengthened the life of the underground pipes. But what happened was, since they didn't add that, whatever chemicals that were in this river water corroded the pipes, and that's where the lead started leaching in and stuff like that.
And it's not just lead in there. I heard they actually found out that because of the mismatch of chemicals, there's actually some harmful bacteria growing in the water, too.
Oh, yeah, and it may cost up to $100 million to repair it all. So, yeah, they had no corrosion control effort in place. The Environmental Quality Department had done the tests in a misleading way. When they told residents to test their water, they said, flush your taps for 5 minutes before taking the samples. So that, you know, out with the bad water, in with the good.
Oh, great, you know. And it just goes to show, you know, there's all these statists that say, well, if everything's up to private corporations are just going to dump their chemicals into our drinking water for profit. It's like, do you know what the government's doing, you know? And again, this isn't the first time the U.S. government's contaminated water. Remember that incident where the EPA dumped all these chemicals into a river and it turned the river, it's like brownish-orange for like several weeks?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And what happened? Was there even a resignation over that?
I don't know. I don't remember.
But Susan Hedman, the EPA regional leader I mentioned who resigned, said that the agency had known about the problem for months, but that she couldn't do anything about it because her hands were tied by all these interagency rules. So she wanted to do the right thing, but the EPA procedures prohibited her from doing it.
Yep, that's how government works.
Yeah, and according to the EPA's press secretary, gotta love the fact that the EPA has a press secretary. That should tell you a lot.
Yeah, the Ministry of Propaganda.
But, you know, the whole thing about the report not being released to the public, and when it was released, all the things blaming the officials were excised. The reason for that was, quote, because it contained confidential, personal, and enforcement-sensitive information.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, their privacy we have to protect.
Yeah, the biggest problem with the U.S. government is that they can deliberately withhold information by saying, oh, we can't tell you why we're doing this because it's a state secret.
Yeah, and you have this reporter who is trying to... Mona Hannah Atisha, she's actually a pediatrician, but she was trying to make public all of these reports about the increased levels of lead and stuff like that. And the state officials just started blasting her and said that she was causing unnecessary hysteria, but then later on said that, yeah, everything she published was accurate.
Yeah. The government is for freedom of the press, so as long as that press keeps saying how awesome the government is. It's pretty funny because Michael Moore, you know, blames capitalism for all the miseries of Flint, Michigan, even though in my research, all of the problems going on in Flint are caused by the government.
Yeah, and try suing them. They've had multiple attempts to have lawsuits that have been going on for so long that a lot of the children who are affected by the lead in the water are almost old enough to graduate high school now.
Yeah, and in all honesty, that's the real reason why I think the government is a much bigger threat than any big corporation, is because corporations, for the most part, they can be held accountable for their actions unless they're protected by the government. The government can't.
Yeah, but I mean, everything about this says that it's the government of Flint who is 100% responsible for this problem. And yes, the state and the federal agencies did a lot of cover-ups and stuff like that, but it was really because the city of Flint didn't do what they were supposed to do. So residents of Flint have had to resort to alternate means, such as bottled water. We've talked about some of that. It's being donated. A lot of them, of course, are just buying it. And they didn't want to have to pay the city for water that was unusable and even dangerous. And the city told them that if they didn't pay their water bills, they'd take their children from them.
Again, going back to the private market, you know, people like to say, oh, this is capitalism, but no, like, let's look at a restaurant. If a restaurant serves you, like, a drink or something, and you find out it's full of bugs, and you say, hey, waiter, there's a bunch of flies in my drink, they'll say, oh, we're terribly sorry, we'll get you a free one on the house, or they won't make you pay for it. You know, the government doesn't do that.
Well, like, what happened years ago when Jack in the Box... And it wasn't even their fault, it was their supplier, and it was only like 3 or 4 locations, but they had burger meat that was contaminated with E. coli. It ended up being this nationwide thing. People just stopped going to Jack in the Box, and they were like, hey, we gotta step this up, we gotta make sure our meat everywhere is fine. They have the incentive to do that. Where's the incentive that Flint has to do this?
As Lord Teed Hawkeye said, imagine if all the actions by the federal government were done by a private enterprise.
Yep. But according to the city, they're just following Michigan law, which says that if you don't have running water in your home, you're not only guilty of child endangerment and your kids can be taken from you, but your property can be condemned and taken by the city.
Yeah. And again, this is why public projects aren't as fair as people think they are. You know, and that's another thing I hate about taxes is because why should we force, you know, people to pay for stuff that they're not going to be using? Again, only in government.
Oh, but you know, it's fine because if you don't like it, you can just leave. Well, except that it's illegal for them to sell their homes because you can't sell a home that has contaminated water.
Yeah, that's a funny thing with the social contract. People say, well, if you don't like it, well, you can just leave. Well, how am I supposed to do that? You know, because then you try to sell your house and you say, nope, you can't sell your house because until the crisis is over, you're basically stuck there.
And this could take up to 15 years to fix the problems. The residents will be forced to live there until the problem is solved, paying for the water that they can't use the whole time.
Yep, it's just stupid. You know, at the very, you know, come on, Flint. At the very least, tell people, okay, until we get this water situation resolved, nobody has to pay their water taxes. But nope, we still need our monies because we're government.
Yep. And The Guardian actually showed that Flint is far from the only municipal water supply in the country that's having these kind of issues.
Yeah, I've heard the Detroit water's not so good either.
Well, that's the reason why they switched to begin with, because they were getting the water from Detroit, and they said, oh, this is no good, we need to switch to this other supply. So, the problem is, it's a monopoly, and I'll never get why statists rail against free market monopolies, of which there have been none whatsoever in history, but government monopolies are a-okay.
Well, there were a few, you know, as Milton Friedman called them, there were a few temporary monopolies where some companies dominated the market they were in for like a few years, but eventually competitors came in and they lost it, you know?
Well, but what kind of monopoly is that? I mean, okay, BlackBerry had a monopoly on smartphones for a few years. Why? Because they were the first one to make them.
Yeah, same thing with Standard Oil, you know? I mean, people like to say, oh, Standard Oil was a monopoly. Yeah, because they were the first company to use kerosene instead of whale blubber.
Yeah, I mean, when you're the first one to do it, for a few years, you have a monopoly until the competition starts kicking in. So the city's going to spend $100 million, something like that, to fix it up. President Obama has planned to give, not the residents of Flint, but the Flint government, $85 million in government aid.
That's another thing I hate about people is, you know, is when I say I'm against government aid, it's like, why? Why are you against government aid? Why do you hate the people? Because the money doesn't go to the people. It goes to the government of the area affected. The same thing happens with Africa. People like to say, why are you criticizing, you know, all these, you know, United Nations African programs? Do you hate poor Africans? No, it's just that all the aid's going to their government and not to the people who are suffering.
But it ends up being like $1,000 per person that they're not even gonna see. But if this had been a private company, they would have gotten so much more than that. And this article in The Week goes over a lot of the numbers just of how much more it would be. And they're actually talking about, you know, even if they replace the city pipes and everything, it would end up being like $1.5 billion. And each homeowner will probably have to pay $4,000 for new plumbing system, new water heater, new service line connection, stuff like that. Whereas GM had to pay $35 million to the NHTSA and $900 million to the Justice Department because of the faulty switch in the cobalt. And even that was limited by the bankruptcy restructuring. Toyota ended up paying $1.2 billion to Justice and $35 million to NHTSA after that problem with their vehicle suddenly accelerating. You know, and that's a problem that didn't affect anywhere near as many people as this. And I mean, here you've got something where there's lead in the water, so you have kids who are going to have lifelong disabilities and brain damage and stuff like that, and they're getting $115 million.
Yeah, only in government do people get paid to screw up.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. It's the doctrine of sovereign immunity. You just can't sue government officials when they do stuff like this. But I mean, if you had a private water supply, they wouldn't be able to do that. They pull stuff like this.
When it comes to water, everyone likes to blame private companies for some reason. It even happens in California, you know, with the water shortage. Everyone is blaming these evil food and water companies for the shortage, even though it's largely government mishandling that's causing the water shortage.
California has so many natural supplies of water that a shortage of it is just ridiculous. It reminds me of something Milton Friedman said. Put government in charge of the Sahara Desert, and within 5 years you'll have a shortage of sand.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it's a public good, so we need to keep it away from those dangerous profit motives.
Yeah. And look how that ends up.
And you even had Dana Milbank of the Washington Post. She tweeted, quote, Flint isn't a failure of government at all levels. It's a failure of Governor Snyder's private sector theology. There's nothing private going on here.
Yep.
The Flint water system is owned, operated, and controlled by government, start to finish, top to bottom, from the word go.
Yep, that's another thing that statists do. You know, if you show them plenty of examples, you know, where their state fails, they say, oh, no, the state didn't fail, just that individual did. Communists do the same thing to justify communism when you bring up guys like Stalin. They say, no, Stalin wasn't a communist. He was just that one example for whatever reason. You know, it's... You can't do this, people. That's cult mentality.
And to make matters even worse, long before these problems were even acknowledged, officials in Flint were taking steps to make sure their water was fine.
Oh, yeah.
They started putting in all these water coolers and saying, okay, you have a choice, so of course, people pick the water cooler water.
Again, it's government exemption, you know.
So the notice said, quote, While the city of Flint states that corrective actions are not necessary, DTMB, that's the Department of Technology, Management, and Budget, is in the process of providing a water cooler on each occupied floor positioned near the water fountain so you can choose which water to drink. The coolers will arrive today and will be provided as long as the public water does not meet treatment requirements.
Yeah, of course, it's government protecting their employees and their cronies, but not the people they're supposed to be serving.
And of course, they just kept it up because there were more and more findings that said that the water was getting worse and worse.
Oh, yeah.
So all of that makes the city government of Flint, Michigan, the Michigan State Government, and the EPA, all of them, this week's biggest bogon emitter. If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government sensors. It's essential in this day and age. So go to vpn.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world. And they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to change the password on the luggage of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Oh, Lenovo, I'm really glad that I recommended that people never buy from you again after the Superfish fiasco that we covered. Here they are, yet again, being really horrible. So, Lenovo was shipping computers with the technology they call ShareIt, which is a way of allowing people to share files without a cloud service provider. And you could install ShareIt on your non-Lenovo desktops and put it on your smartphones or anything. And you just won't believe the idiocy here.
Let me guess, there's a big security hole in their system.
There's four.
Oh.
And all of these are remotely exploitable and affected the versions for Android 3.0.18_WW and Windows 2.5.1.1. And one thing that they did was a hard-coded password, not just a default password that you can change. A default password is bad enough. A hard-coded password is one you can't change, which is really bad. But even worse, the password they used was 123456789.
That's the stupidest code I've ever heard. Only an idiot would have that on his luggage.
According to Splash Data, it was the third worst password of 2015.
Yeah, because Druidia has a giant shield to protect their atmosphere, and the passcode is 12345.
I'm sure Mel Brooks thought he was being silly, but it's happening.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, according to Core Security, which is the research firm that found these, quote, when Lenovo Shared for Windows is configured to receive files, a Wi-Fi hotspot is set with an easy password, 12345678. Any system with a Wi-Fi network card could connect to that hotspot by using that password. The password is always the same.
You know, I understand they want to do it for the convenience of their customers, but it's not worth it, people. It's not worth getting your thing hacked into, you know.
So the second problem was on their Share It for Android, where when it's set to receive files, it opens up a Wi-Fi hotspot with no password at all.
That's totally secure.
Yeah, that's worse than the 12345678.
Yeah. At least with 12345678, you're getting some protection. A terrible protection, but it's some, you know. Without a password, a hacker who gets your information, he can just walk right in, you know.
And not even a password. People, you know, have phones that are set, oh, there's an open Wi-Fi hotspot, let's just connect automatically.
Yep.
Oh, hey, here are some files. I wonder what they are. The third flaw is the fact that the files were transferred over HTTP, not HTTPS, which means they weren't encrypted, which means that it was exposed to everyone else you were sharing files with, even if you wanted to keep them private, and any of them could do a man-in-the-middle attack. And the fourth vulnerability is it allows not just remote transfer of files, but remote browsing of entire file systems on Windows when you get through that really, really hard 12345678 password. And they said, quote, when the Wi-Fi network is on and connected with the default password, 12345678, the files can be browsed but not downloaded by performing an HTTP request to the web server launched by Lenovo ShareIt.
Yeah.
So Core Security privately reported the flaws to Lenovo back in October, and they agreed that they wouldn't make them public until Lenovo patched the flaws, but it took them 3 months to do it.
Yeah.
And so normally what we say is, okay, what we're looking for is not that you don't make mistakes, but you say, okay, we made it and patch it. But first of all, these were mistakes that never should have been made to begin with. And second, 3 months to patch it is just ridiculous. And in all that time, people were vulnerable to not only hackers, but just casual browsers. I mean, it's completely unconscionable.
Yeah. When Steam got hacked, you know what they did? They shut down the Steam network and got right to work with it. That's why, you know, after Christmas, there was a lot of kudos to the Steam workers because there were people working on Steam that actually had to sacrifice their Christmas holiday to protect their information. That's what you should be doing if you find out your security's been compromised.
It's another one of those weeks where I wish I could do a lot more to Lenovo than just name them this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this You Get to Drink from the Fire Hose edition of the Bogosity Podcast.
I'd rather drink from a garden hose than drink the water in Flint.
Come join the discussion at forum.bogosity.tv and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant in text or as an audio file to podcast@bogosity.tv. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or the QR codes on the YouTube video. You can also become a patron at patreon.bogosity.tv and get the podcast and YouTube videos early and without ads or promos. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Chris Hangardner for joining me.
Good to be back, Shane.
Until next time, here's a quote from George Carlin. At some point, during every stage show I do, I take a sip of water and ask the audience, how's the water here? I haven't gotten a positive response yet. Not one. Nobody trusts their water supply. Nobody. And that amuses me, because it means that the system is beginning to collapse. I'm glad the water sucks. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.
Bogosity.
Want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not. Based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
Who gave Manoval or whatever a license to sell computers anyway?
They bought it from IBM.
Oh.
All the ThinkPads and everything are now Lenovo's.
Wow.